Today's daf, we've got an exciting daf today. Here we're going to need a little bit of concentration here. And I pity those guys who come late and they don't get their spreadsheet in order over here. Because the only way to actually do this daf is, to do it properly, is to recognize what the Mishnah is doing. The Mishnah creates a spreadsheet. And in order for us to translate that spreadsheet into the way we're used to looking at spreadsheets. So what I would like you to do is, even if you can write it down, it would be better, create a spreadsheet. And the spreadsheet has four columns and four rows. Once you understand that, then you will recognize the structure of the Mishnah as being very familiar, and you will not find it overwhelming. There's a big problem with what happened here, and that is that all of the separate Mishnayos of this parak have all been included in one gigantic, long, confusing Mishnah, which is basically an idea of how to print it properly so you can get all of the Gemaras together on all of the parts of the Mishnah. This creates immense confusion. So what I want to do is to break up this Mishnah the way it's broken up in the Mishnayos, as opposed to doing it all as one Mishnah, which is very confusing. And then to recognize that the structure is a classic spreadsheet structure that the Mishnah is going through. The Mishnah is so confusing that Rashi even gives a brief hakdama in which he says the only way not to get confused by this Mishnah and to think that you've got the Girsa messed up is to create a spreadsheet. And Rashi therefore sets out the spreadsheet before the Mishnah, because he was concerned with the easy way that it is to mess up the structure of this Mishnah. Now, before we begin the Mishnah, let's understand the elements that we need to take into consideration. We've arrived at a stage in the Masechet where, So today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Nun, and we're holding at the new Perek, the Mishnah, on Daf Nun Amud Aleph. So we've got ourselves a Mishnah, which is essentially a spreadsheet, that's going to be discussing a point in our Masechet where we now need to take stock of all of the halachas that we have dealt with until now. We have gradually filled out an understanding of the concepts of Zika, of the various ways in which Zika is removed, in which ways in which Zika is partially removed, and the various things that are affected by changes in Zika. So there are basically three main issues that we need to consider. One, what allows a Yavama to get married Loshuk? What allows her to marry an Ishzar? Two, what will now create a problem on any of the brothers to have relations with this Yavama? Well, those are another two Isurim. So number two over here would be, Kivan shelo bana, shuv lo yivne. Once one brother does a chalitza, it's also for anybody to go ahead and to attempt to do yibam. And now item number three is where you did do a binyan, but by a techadu boneh, the eno boneh shnei batim. And therefore, if any of the brothers went ahead and did yibam, so now there is an iser lav in any of the brothers, including him himself, from going ahead and building another bayit. We also had a machloket earlier between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, in which according to Reish Lakish, all of that's very nice, but it's only true about the actual brother who did the yibam. As far as any of the other brothers are concerned, they go back to a status of an Isser Eishes Ach D'Oraisa, which would be Bekaris, if one of the brothers acted with Chalitz or Yibam. Okay, we talked about that earlier in the Masechet, and we came out like Rabbi Yochanan, that actually any brother acts on behalf of all of the brothers, whether it's in terms of Chalitz or it's in terms of Yibam, and therefore the only two Isurim we have to really worry about is not Isur Eishes Ach, but rather the question about Bayit Echad Hu Boneh Veino Boneh Shnei Batim, and or Kivan Shelo Bana Shuv lo yivneh. And those are the issues that we need to deal with that have to do with the dinim in the Torah. However, the Rabbanan complicated things terribly. So one complication came from the fact that the Rabbanan created this idea of ma'amar. Now, the original idea of ma'amar is to make yibum more similar to the dinim of actual marriage. So just like in actual marriage, you don't happen to bed together, there is a process in which you give kiddushin, and then you go to the chuppah. The same thing is true when it comes to yibum, say the Rabbanan. Let us first give a kiddushin, so that would be either bekesef or beshtar, and then let us perform the yibum. We even had questions earlier about whether that means that there's a concept of chuppah for yibum as well, since ma'amar turns the entire zika into a normal kiddushin relationship as opposed to the yibum relationship, or whether it's just an additional thing that the Rabbanan were mechayev, but it doesn't change the nature of the zika, and you don't need a mesira lechuppah where the father gives her over and so on and so forth. None of that would be applicable. That's not important for our Mishnah, but it is important in understanding conceptually what this ma'amar is. However, there's now another problem. If this concept of ma'amar exists, then it also has an impact on the zika. Because can we get away with saying that there is an idea of ma'amar, but only in terms of niceties, but there is no real kiddushin in terms of its affecting the relationship to the other brothers or to the other yavamais? Because remember, in the same way that yibum or chalitza by any brother to any of the yavamais affects the nature of the relationship of that brother and all the brothers to the other yavamais, either by creating an isser of kivan shalobana shuv lo yivne on all, or by bayetu echadu boneh veino boneh shnei batim on all, what would the mimer do in such a case? Because are we going to just say mimer is just, it's a sort of a derech eretz, but it doesn't resemble real kiddushin, and it won't have any effect, even though it looks like kiddushin? Well, we don't say that. And the fact is, as we've seen, once one of the brothers gives ma'amar, we treat it, min rabbanan at least, and perhaps more, because we already saw that there were problems in how we relate to ma'amar, particularly when we're dealing with Beit Shammai. We're going to see more issues today. We treat that ma'amar as if it were a kinyan. And if it's an actual kinyan, so then in the same way, you cannot take another one of those yavamas if you made a kinyan on one, and neither can any of the brothers. That means that when we create ma'amar, we give it the status as if giving ma'amar to one yavama prevents you from going ahead and doing yibum or chalitza with any other yavama. However, that leaves open a question. How much do we treat it as a kinyan? Would we treat it to the extent that if you give ma'amar to one yavama, that then a ma'amar to another yavama wouldn't work? In the same way that if you give chalitza to one yavama, a chalitza to another yavama won't work? Or if you do yibam to one yavama, yibam to another yavama won't work? Or do we say, well, it works to pasul, but it doesn't work to allow you the options of just walking away from a ma'amar to another yavama? That we'll see as a machlokas. The next confusing issue actually in a way relates to ma'amar. How? Because suppose somebody does give ma'amar and now he changes his mind and he wants to walk away. Well, what's the din when somebody does yibum and changes his mind and he wants to walk away? Does he need chalitza? No, because he already did the yibum. And as we learned before, once you do yibum, the yavama is your wife as if she's a regular wife. But you do need a get, the same way you would need a get in any other divorce. What's the din if you gave ma'amar and you want to walk away? Can you walk away with a divorce? Well, now, wait a minute. How can you walk away with a divorce if you haven't dealt with the Yibum yet? Remember, the Ma'amar only adds another layer to Yibum, Midrabanan, essentially, according to Moshitas, but it doesn't take the place of the actual act of Yibum to now absorb the Zika of this Yavama to this Yavam, or to any of the Yavam, right? And therefore, it's all very nice to say, let's be Machmir and treat Ma'amar as if it's a Yibum. But we certainly can't be Makel and say, let's be Makel and treat Ma'amar as if it's a Yibum. And now by giving a divorce, you can walk away for your Yavama. Because we haven't dealt with the Diraisa that requires Chalitza. So that leads us to the question, okay, fine. So I've decided to walk away. So let me walk away with the Chalitza. I certainly don't need to add a get to the potion over here, do I? Well, now that's not true. Because we've been treating the chiyuv of the Yibum on the one hand from the point of view, the perspective of the Diraita, and therefore we needed the Chalitza for it. But we cannot use that to subsume the nature of the Ma'amar and say, okay, so forget about the Ma'amar. We can't do that. Because once we created the mechanism of Ma'amar, and there's going to be grounds for a great deal of confusion, as we'll see, if we don't treat it seriously. So then that means that by very virtue of giving Ma'amar, you're always going to need to give a get for the Ma'amar, if that Ma'amar worked. And the fact that you gave Chalitza is not going to change anything, because you still need to take off the Ma'amar, at least Midrabanan, right? So now we have a get involved in the Dinim of Yibum. So now let's separate the get. The Rogovs keep talking, but they're going to miss a lot of material if they keep this up. I mean, I understand maybe today it's not Sesame Street, but it's a slippery slope and Grouch is going to get you. So now let's talk about the fourth problem. So we've got, what is the issue after Yibum? What is the issue after Chalitza? What is the issue after Ma'amar? What happens if you give a get to a Yavama before you do anything else? No Chalitza, no Ma'amar, no Yibum. Basically, you have a very infantile vision of the whole idea. The Torah gave me a wife. I don't want the wife. I'm divorcing her. Give her a get. Well, it turns out that the Rabbanan, again, even though the Diraisa is completely not interested in a get for a Yavama, because this Yavama has not been considered a full wife because of Zika, it's only considered to be an inalienable, the man that needs to be alienated. But the only way that the Torah gives you to alienate is through Chalitza. And you stupidly went ahead and gave her a get. The problem is that once you give her a get, that get indicates that there was some level of relationship between you and that potential wife who was your Yavama. And therefore, the Rabbanan said it cannot be ignored because it could easily be confused with a Chalitza. And if we ignore it, then that may impact how people will act after Chalitza. So we're going to have to take the get seriously if it were given. However, if we take it seriously, it is going to have all kinds of impacts. First of all, it's going to create the big problem of if it's similar to Chalitza, so then Kivan Shelo Bana, Shuv Lo Yivneh. If you've rejected her, if it were Chalitza, that would be a Diraisa. If you've rejected her, that's it. You've closed off all the options to future relationships, whether by you or whether by any of the brothers, to this family. Whether there's one Yavama or there's more than one Yavama. And therefore, if we're going to be treating a get as if it's a semi-chalitza, it means midrabanan, it will also close off the options. And therefore, having given a get, your options no longer include the right to do Yibum, because Yibum is now usher to you because of a derabanan extension of Kivan Shelo Bana, Shuv Lo Yivneh. But again, the question remains, if it's only a Drabanan, what happens if you go ahead and you do? You ignore the Drabanan. You went ahead and you give Yibum. What is the status of that Yibum? Is it a kosher Yibum? Well, let's think about that. According to Rabbi Akiva, the Isser of Kivan Shelo Bana, Shuv Lo Yivneh, is an Isser Lav, correct? But according to Rabbi Akiva, Ein Kiddushin Tofsim B'chayvei Lavim. As a matter of fact, this was the previous parak's main focus, the creation of Mamzerut and its relationship to the potential of Kiddushin. Now, if you're going to tell me that there would be no way for me to effectuate a marriage, then obviously I cannot stick with this Yavama. And if I can't stick with this Yavama, then even if I don't hold of Rabbi Akiva and I say it's only an Issur Rabbanan, you took this Yavama. Okay, thank you very much, but you weren't supposed to take this Yavama. Why not? Because you gave a get to either another Yavama in the house or to her. Shmuel, please mute yourself. There's sound coming across the phone. So if that's the case, you're not allowed to stay with this Yavama. You're going to have to get rid of this Yavama. Well, if I have to get rid of this Yavama, how do I get rid of her? The way I usually get rid of a Yavama after Bia? Namely, with a get? Well, then people would say that this was a real Yibum. Well, it was a real Yibum. Yes, in Yeraisa. But Minerabbanan, it was an Usher Yibum. That is called a Bia Psula. A Bia Psula means there's something that is not fully effective about the actual intercourse with your Yavama. And therefore, we have to treat it as still requiring Chalitza because it didn't do a complete job. Whoa, this is weird stuff. Now, that means that because the four issues, namely the Diraisa issues of Bia and Chalitza, plus the Rabbanan issues of Ma'amar and Get, are interrelated and affect one another, we need to determine what the status of each one of those issues would be in terms of its effect on all of the other issues, as well as in terms of its effect on the Yavama and in terms of its effect on the Yavam. When I added that, what did I mean? Well, let's think about the idea of a chalitza. If you give a chalitza to a woman, then basically you have to treat all of her relatives as if you were once married to her. That's called achot chalutzato. So you would not be allowed to marry her mother or her daughter and so on and so forth, even though it was only chalitza. There's another impact of chalitza. The woman would be asura to ever marry a kohen, which is why we need to determine whether the chalitza was a valid chalitza or not. So suppose you gave ma'amar to one of the yavamas. Would all of her relatives be forever asura on you? Her mother, her daughter, her sister? Would that apply to a ma'amar? Would it apply to a ma'amar that was done when you had already given a get before the ma'amar? Would it apply to a ma'amar when you had given a ma'amar to another one of the yavamas before you gave a ma'amar to this yavama? Oh my God. So as you can see, the situation becomes rapidly, extremely complicated, because it's all very nice to talk about the issues, one in terms of the other. That gives us only four elements. But when we need to talk about these issues, not in terms only of one and the other, but in terms of their impact on various other issues, such as the other brothers, the other Yavamites, the other relatives, and the order in which they were done, suppose a get before Ma'amar would be different than a Ma'amar before Ma'amar. Suppose a Yibum that was done with a poor quality Bia, which is called a Bia Psula, because of a get on one of the Yavamas, was done on another Yavama properly. Suppose another brother did the Ma'amar after one brother did one Ma'amar. Or suppose another brother, not you, went to another Yavama and went ahead and gave a get to that Yavama after his brother had given to her co-wife, who was not related to her, had given her a get, and so on and so forth. So as you can imagine, it gets a bit complicated. And therefore, the way that the parak was structured by Rabbeinu HaKadosh was to gradually increase the complexity of the parak. Start off with the simple question of one Yavam with one Yavama, just to talk about the interrelationships of the four issues, namely the Ma'amar, get chalitza bia with each other, then complicated by talking about what if there were two Yavamas, then complicated by talking about what if there were more than one brother, and then add, and what if there were more than one brother that were dealing with more than one Yavama? And that way we would see the interrelationship on all levels. Now, if we would look at the Mishnah, the way that it's separately constructed, it comes across very clearly. And that's why Rashi gives his little hakdama. In order to understand this Mishnah, says Rashi, you must take into consideration your Excel sheet. And that way you will not get confused by the various issues. So your Excel sheet consists of four rows and four columns. Interestingly, in each one of these rows and in each one of these columns, you're simply going to be dealing with one of the four elements. So going across your columns, across the top of your Excel sheet, you will write ma'amar, and then get, and then chalitza, and then bia. So now you've got basically your four columns. Your four rows will be exactly the same. Ma'amar, get, chalitza, bia. And then what we'll do is, okay, let's take a look at what happens in the ma'amar column. Let's start going down. Okay, what happens with ma'amar if it's a ma'amar after another ma'amar? What happens in the ma'amar if you give a get after ma'amar? What happens in the ma'amar if you give chalitza after the ma'amar? What happens in the ma'amar if you give bia after ma'amar? And then we will expand it to say, and then what happens if one brother gave ma'amar and brother two gave a get? And what happens if there were two yavamas and one brother gives ma'amar and one gives chalitza, and so on and so forth, right? So therefore, the Mishnah is really very, very simple. But since it's a mishmash and being created as one big long Mishnah, it can leave your head absolutely going around in circles. What the heck? And therefore, we needed this long introduction to make it really very simple. So before we get into the complications, the Mishnah talks about the relationships of any one of these new ideas together with any one of the original ideas to keep things simple. Can these things actually appear twice in one bayit? In other words, if you give a get to one yavama and then you give a get to another yavama, is the second get meaningful? Can you have two such gezeiros, or are we going to treat that get as if it were a chalitza? If you gave chalitza to one, then that's the end of the yibum. You can't do chalitza to another, right? If you were boil one of them, you cannot be boil another. There's only one yavama that you can take as a yavama. What about ma'amar? If you give ma'amar to one, can you give ma'amar to the other? Now you understand why this is the simplest issue that we need to discuss. Why? Because it directly determines how seriously we're taking the comparison of the two derabbanans, namely ma'amar and get, to the two d'oraisas, namely yibum and chalitza, which they're similar to. So that's our first question. Do we seriously treat it as if it's a complete midrabbanan, as if it's complete ma'amar is a complete yibum? Well, then you can't do another ma'amar after you did one ma'amar. The same way, if you went ahead and did yibum after doing another yibum, you're just sleeping around. It has absolutely no meaning in terms of kinyanim or isurim. It's just you're doing the wrong thing, but that's not our business here. We're here just to talk about what the status is of the yavama and so on. In that case, once you gave ma'amar to one, you can't give ma'amar to another. It's ridiculous. You finished. If a get is the real equivalent of chalitza, then once you give get to one, then you can't give a get to another. Meaning you can go ahead and write as many gittin as you want and then flush them down the toilet. What difference would it make? Normally I'd say, what do you mean? What difference does it make? If I give a get, then I become usher to all of her relatives forever and ever. Well, we laugh at you. What are you, crazy? I shouldn't say forever and ever because her sister's only usher as long as she lives. But in any event, you become usher to the relatives, right? So we say, but that wasn't a get. In the same way that if you did a chalitza after a chalitza, and then you'd say, well, I gave chalitza to this woman, she can't marry a kohen, we're going to laugh at you. We say, what chalitza? You mean because you like to be spit at? So you got spit at by this woman? I mean, who cares? Why is that? That's not meaningful. Ah, she took off my shoe. Great. They do that in the shoe store also. I mean, what's the big deal? So that is not a chalitza, the same way that your get is not a get. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that we have to intertwine the vision of the Diraisa and the vision of the Darabona. If you give Ma'amar, we don't really want you to think that your Ma'amar is a full equivalent of Yibum, and therefore it's still going to leave room for another Ma'amar, because darted from the perspective of the Torah, that Ma'amar was just a plain old joke. It didn't mean anything. And therefore, how can we say, well, I already did Ma'amar, so I couldn't do Ma'amar to another one any more than if I did Yibum to one, I could do Yibum to another one. Well, that's not true. We don't want you thinking that Ma'amar is a real equivalent of Yibum. And therefore, to say we'll keep it consistent, you can't keep it consistent, because on the one hand, you're dealing with the Diraisa, and on the other hand, you're dealing with the Darabona. So consistency can get you into serious trouble. If you're going to treat Ma'amar as the equivalent of Yibum, just imagine where that could get you. And if you treat a get as the full equivalent of a chalitza, just imagine where that could get you. Therefore, what we have is the simplest question: how do we view the real kinyan derabbanan in terms of the diraisa, or the real hotzah of a get midrabbanan as the equivalent of the hotzah of chalitza diraisa? That turns out to be the simplest question, and that is a machlokas right at the beginning of the Mishnah. Before we even get to our spreadsheet, we need to determine the interrelationships of how we view these two derabbanans in terms of their equivalent to diraisa. So we start with that machlokas between Rebbe Gamliel and the Chachamim. Rebbe Gamliel says, basically, look, can you do a chalitza after you did a chalitza? Of course not. That's not called a chalitza. Can you do a yibum after you did another yibum? No, of course not. That's not called a yibum. Again, it doesn't mean the act. Obviously, you can sleep with any woman you want to, but that's an act. The question is it a meaningful act? You can have a woman spit at you anytime you want to, but that's an act, but is it a meaningful act? Is it a chalitza? We all agree there's no yibum after doing yibum, and there's no chalitza after doing chalitza. I say, says Rabbi Gamliel, in exactly the same vein, if you gave ma'amar, then there's no meaning to a second ma'amar with another woman after you gave one ma'amar. And for that matter, there'd be no meaning to a ma'amar of one brother to one yavama after ma'amar of another brother to yavama. And therefore, it's all consistent. Ein get achar get. So if you gave one of the yavamas a get, then if you give the other yavama a get, you're not usher in her relatives, because that get is a joke. If you gave a ma'amar to one of them, and then you give to the another one, you don't have to give her a get to get her out of that ma'amar. That second ma'amar is a joke, the same way that bia after bia would have been a joke. So ein get achar get, ein ma'amar achar ma'amar, ein bi'ila achar bi'ila, ein chalitza achar chalitza. So everything is clear, straightforward, says Rabbi Gamliel. But the Chachamim say, no, it's not so, because the Derabbanans need to still be understood in the context of the Diraisas as being only partial lechumra issues, and therefore there is a get achar get, because the get did not really achieve a full bittul of the Zika. It was only a Rabbanan pretense. And there is a ma'amar, achar ma'amar, because the ma'amar never achieved a full kenisa of the yavama to affect the zika. Really, it's just we were being machmer on it. So, I mean, if you do another one, we'll have to be machmer on that other one. Both of them will require a get. Obviously, we agree that when it comes to the diraita, avalo achar be'ila, velo achar chalitza, klum. Once you do a bia, once you do a chalitza, there is no issue involved. Now, I must warn you that that presentation is the way the Gemara comes out basically at the end, understanding the issues. However, Rashi's explanation is here not the way that I just explained it, because Rashi takes a different approach to Rebbe Gamliel saying, ein get achar get, and that's the approach of Rava that we're going to see tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, and we'll see that the Gemara in the end proves that that is not the correct approach. So we're taking the simple approach, and the simple part, which is merely an introduction to the spreadsheet, is defining to what extent we view between the two shittas, Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, we view the two interrelated derabbanans with their equivalent deoraisas and what the impact would be. Okay. Now comes along the Mishnah and begins with a very misleading word, which is ketzah. Now, normally, if this would be one Mishnah, then the word ketzad would mean, how would we impact the, how could I show you cases that would explain the above mentioned machlokas? But as I explained to you earlier, this Mishnah is a mishmash. And the word ketzad has nothing to do really with the statements that we just had. The word ketzad over here is the beginning of a completely new Mishnah. So therefore, take your introductory Mishnah, we'll call that the introductory Mishnah or Mishnah A, and now let's move on. The Perek begins with the interrelationship of a simple, single Yavam and single Yavam. So what would be the din, Ketzat simply means, what would be the din of a Yavam who does various things in different orders with his Yavama? Now begins our spreadsheet. Okay, so we're going to start with, he went ahead and he did Ma'amar, and that was right across your columns. He did Ma'amar. Now, let's start going down the actual rows. And then he goes ahead and gives her a get. Okay, how do we fill in that box in our Excel sheet? So we write into it, Tzricha Emena Chalitza. If he went ahead and did the Ma'amar, so then he goes in and he gives her a get, she still needs Chalitza. That's what it's saying. So put in Chalitza. Why does she still need Chalitza? Because you doing Ma'amar and giving a get, which is all very nice for canceling the Ma'amar, remember, it still hasn't done anything for the concomitant status of Yibum. What took off the Yibum? The Ma'amar? Ma'amar can't take off Yibum. It's only an additional Durabbanan, which is a similarity to Yibum, but it isn't really Yibum. The get can only help to take off the Ma'amar. But the get, obviously, is not useful for the Didiraisa Yibum. So you still need Chalitza. Okay, let's move down. Asa Ma'amar. Now, remember, the beginning of the Asa is the column. And then the next piece is the row. So we started off with Asa, column, Ma'amar. Row, giving a get. Fine, Chalitz. Next, Asa, Ma'amar. You're in the column of Ma'amar. Move down after get, and you get to Chalitza. Okay? Asa, Ma'amar, the Chalitza. What do we put in there? Well, you still need a get, because even though the Chalitza took off the Deoraisa of the Yibum, it did not take off the Derabbanan status of the Ma'amar, and therefore, how do you get out of a Ma'amar, which is a Kedushin Derabbanan? You need to give a get Derabbanan. So, fill in the box with get. We still require a get. Let's move down now. Asa Ma'amar, again, that's the column that we're in, and now we're in our final box, Asa Ma'amar, and then you did Bia. Ah, that's great. So put in a little heart into that box, color it red if you've got a color printer, and there we've got a beautiful love affair. He went ahead and he did Ma'amar like a good boy, and then he went ahead and he took her to bed like a better boy, and there we are, with all of our mitzvahs taken care of, and that's all you need to worry about is keep that heart beating. In the sad event that the heart stops beating, then you'll still need a get, unless it literally stops beating, in which case there's never any problems. So, harezu kemitzvata. Okay, moving on to our second row. Okay, now this basically is the end of the first Mishnah after the introductory Mishnah. So the introductory Mishnah we called Mishnah A. This is the way that it's actually set up in the Mishnayos. The introductory Mishnah was Mishnah A. The first Mishnah, Mishnah B, is the introduction to our spreadsheet, and it talks about the idea of ma'amar. Now let's move on to the next Mishnah. Each row is given the Mishnah. So let's move on to the next Mishnah. The next row is get, and we have to move down the various, column. And then we have to move down the various rows now in terms of get. All right. So we're in now our second column, and you went ahead and you give a get. Natan get. All right. Now moving down, first row, ma'amar. So you went ahead and you did a ma'amar for one yavama after you give get to another yavama, or for that matter, to the same yavama. It really makes no difference. The idea over there is you're still going to need a get because you did a ma'amar, and a ma'amar is not canceled because there was a get given before it. And therefore, there exists midrabanan, a relationship of ma'amar, and you need a get to cancel that relationship. Go ahead and cancel that relationship. Thank you very much. Now, what are you going to do about the yibum, you idiot? Ugh. Okay, so now I need to do chalitza. That's right. So now you need two things. So put into your spreadsheet box, you need a get plus chalitza. However, it's not referring to the same person. You could give a chalitza to any of the yavamas in that family, if you want, but you could give the get only to the particular woman with whom you did the ma'amar. So you need a get for the bittul of the ma'amar, a chalitza to remove the yibum. Excellent. Next case, moving down to your next row in the column of natan get. So the next issue. Now here is the first and only time that we have a violation of the structure and we jump a line. But the reason we do that is to try to keep things simple. Because you see, if basically we would go to the next step, which would be chalitza, we'll see that doing chalitza will cancel everything, which is not true in this case of doing the bia. So therefore, we're going to have to leave a blank when we talk about going ahead and doing chalitza. So in order to avoid getting to the blank box, we first go directly to the lowest box, which is Baal. So even though we're in column number two, and we only should be going to row number three, which should be actually the idea over here, would be Natan get, and then we had Natan get. We did Natan get v'yasa ma'amar, Natan get, and then, of course, we're talking about the get. We already discussed whether get achar get. We can skip that. And then you went ahead and you were Baal, so we skipped to the last row. Baal, then fill it in. You need both a get and chalitza. Why do you need a get in this case? I understand why you need chalitza, I think. Not really sure about that either. Because, I mean, if I was Baal, I removed the entire issue of the Zika. So what's my problem? The problem is that this is called a Bia Pesula. Why is it a Bia Pesula? Because you don't have a right to marry this woman having given her a get before, because the Rabbanan answered that. So if you did that, the bia that you did was a low quality bia. And therefore, midrabanan does not take the place of a full removal of the zika. And note that every one of the concepts that we had introduced at the beginning of the Masechet, with great pain and very painstakingly, went through each one of these issues, now comes to the fore. So having introduced the concept of a bia psula, we still need to deal with the zika, midrabanan. And the way that we're going to deal with the Zika is by giving chalitza to any one of these women. So we would still need to give the chalitza. However, the reality is that she is married. The one that you were about, she is married, midiraisa. But you're not allowed to keep her. Why? Because the Rabbanan said having given a get is the equivalent of creating the Isser of Kivan Shelo Bana Shuv Lo Yivneh. And therefore, you must give her a get. So you have to do, and that's a deoraisa. The get is really deoraisa, the way to get rid of this woman who is your full wife, because from the deoraisa perspective, you're fully married to her. But from the derabbanan perspective, you're not fully married to her. Therefore, you still need a chalitza to someone or another, even though you will conclude the relationship with your real yavama, midiraisa. You will conclude that by giving her a get, because again, midiraisa, she's your real wife. So therefore, midirabbanan, you've got to end up both with chalitza and with a get. Weird situation, right? Okay. So therefore, tzricha get v'chalitza. Very strange filling into that box. But how about if you gave a get and then you did chalitza? Well, that's it. There's nothing else to do. If you gave the get, the chalitza concludes the problem by removing all zika. And therefore, this box remains blank, which is why we left it to the end. Okay, now you understand why we violated the different ways that we ought to just simply go through the rows and columns in order, but we jumped because we wanted to first fill in things and then we were going to leave it blank so we don't have to worry about our spreadsheet. So the blank part, we leave till the end. Beautiful, simple, easy to understand relationship to anyone who's used to thinking in this fashion.
Also, okay. In the rhythm, it said get the chalitza twice in a row, so that made it easier also.
The rhythm can be very confusing over here, the rhythm. Because I've been trying to break the rhythm on purpose because of this. Because otherwise, it just sounds like a whole bunch of stuff, one after the other. Okay. Now, let's move on to our next column. Our next column is chalitza. Okay, so here's the next Mishnah for the next column. Chalatz. Okay, so you're now in column Chalitza, and you're moving down the rows. Row number one, Asa Ma'amar. Let's move down to the next row. The next row is Natan Get. Let's move down to the next row. Well, Chalitza, it doesn't mean anything because we already dealt with Ein Chalitza or Chalitza. Let's skip that and go to Bia. The reason we're going to skip is because in all of these boxes, they're blank. There's nothing that needs to be done. Because once it is that you gave chalitza, there's nothing left. There was no zika. There was no meaning to a get. There was no meaning to a ma'amar. There was no meaning to a bia. And therefore, our boxes are blank because, or put an X in them either, to make it very clear that these are simply ridiculous cases. No zika means no meaning to any of these acts. Moving to the next row, which is Bia. Well, it's exactly the same thing. Oh, now that could get very confusing if you're reading, Baal. It's not like that. Okay, so this is your closing Mishnah. Baal, and now go down from the column of Baal through every stage. Okay, row number one, Asa Ma'amar. Row number two, Asa Get. Row number three, gave Chalitza. It doesn't matter over here, because in a chalitza klum, once you did that chalitza, would make absolutely no difference. Because why would it make no difference? Just because you gave a chalitza doesn't mean that if you went ahead and you gave kiddushin afterwards, that you wouldn't have to give a get, does it? I don't understand. If you give a ma'amar after doing chalitza, so then you've got a problem. You're not allowed to sleep with this woman, but you're still going to have to give a get, aren't you? Not if you hold like Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, Ein Kiddushin Tofsim B'chayvei Lavim. Is this a chiyuv of lav? Absolutely. Having given chalitza, the din is that kiven shelo bana, shuv lo yivne. And therefore, you can forget about the impact of any action after this moment. You removed the zika, you created an Isser Lav, and the Isser Lav would mean that even if you were playing around with the Diraisa Kedushin, in which case, how can I say, Einacher Chalitza Klum? According to Rabbi Akiva, it's correct. Einacher Chalitza Klum. And the truth is, Einacher Bia Klum. We're going to discuss it in the Gemara. Why not mention the relationship between the two? But it's exactly the same. Once you went ahead and you created the lotase by taking off the zika, either through chalitza or yibum, there is nothing else that needs to be done. This is true, adds the Mishnah, whether we're talking about the simplest case of one Yavama to one Yavam, or whether we're talking about two separate women to one Yavam, makes no difference to me. It's all the same. Now let's move on to our next Mishnah. When we add the Ketzad, what we're talking about in the Ketzad is, well, now you introduced two Yavamas. Until now, I thought we had a simple case. Explain what the din is of two Yavamas. Now, this Ketzad, therefore, is a continuation of the introductory statement of Echad Yavam Echad, or Shtei Yavamot. So how would it work if you had two Yavamot? Well, the same way, and in the same order. Let's say you give Ma'amar to one and Ma'amar to the other. So now what? Well, the two that got Ma'amar require a get, and the Zika still requires Chalitza. So it's basically the same box we filled in before, except instead of saying one get, now we have to have the same spreadsheet for two women, and therefore we have to add the additional variable of the two women. Each one requires a get. Either one can get Chalitza on behalf of the other one. Okay, now let's take a look at the next case. We're in the column of Ma'amar. Let's move down to get. So now the columns and the rows become two different women. So now if you do the Ma'amar to one and the get to the next, so then you need a get and Chalitza. You need a get because you did a Ma'amar, and whenever you did a Ma'amar, you need a get. And you need a Chalitza because you always need a Chalitza to remove Zika, even where you did anything that was before that affected the Zika, Midrabanan, you're still always going to need Chalitza. And of course, the Chalitza will go to either one. Now let's go to the next case. So you went ahead and you did the Ma'amar with one. And now we skip to the Bia, because obviously the Chalitza would have ended everything. And the idea would be, I can't stick in that you still need a Chalitza. So I skip that case, jump like I did before in the case of one Yavama. I jump to the last row, which is Be'ila. So you did Ma'amar to one, and then you did Bia to the other. Oh, now we've got a Bia Psula, but now both of them need a get. One needs a get because of Ma'amar. One needs a get the Ariza, because she's really married to a Midi Ariza, because she's the true Yavama. But you're still, crazy as it sounds, you're still going to need Chalitza because you did not remove Midrabanan. You did not remove the Zika because the Bia was a low-class Bia having been ruined by the Ma'amar that was given before. And therefore, unless obviously it would have been a Ma'amar to the same woman that you gave the Bia to, that would be great. That was where we are, our pretty little heart. But in this case, you did the Ma'amar to woman A and the Bia to woman B. So therefore, you need a Chalitza together with two Gittin. Now let's move down to the next case. We're still in the row of Ma'amars. You did Ma'amar to woman one, Ma'amar Bazu, and now you did Chalitza to the other one. So if you did a Chalitza, that's great, but it didn't take off the Ma'amar to the other one, did it? Because the Ma'amar we view as a Kedushin, not as a Zika. Therefore, you still need a get for your Ma'amar. That would be great. So Arishona Tzricha get. Moving to the next row, get. Okay, so you give a get Lezu. Now let's move down our rows here. You have a get Lezu and a get Lezu. Doesn't matter how many gets you give, you still need to do Chalitza. If you do a get Lezu, and then you were Baal Ezu, so then you still are going to need the get for the Be'ila, and then you're still going to need a Chalitza because the Bia was a Bia Psula. If you give a get Lezu and Ma'amar Bezu, so then you're going to need a get for the Ma'amar, and you're going to need also a get, not only for the Ma'amar, but you're still going to have to take off the Zika. How are you going to take off the Zika? You're going to need a Chalitza of one or the other. Get Lezu v'chalatz Lezu, then of course, as we said in the original case, in acher Chalitza klum, there would be no problem. Moving down the next column, chalatz, you did a chalitza, and then you did a chalitza to the next one. Or you did a chalitza, and then you went ahead and you did ma'amar. Or natan get, or ba'al. So suppose you went ahead and you were natan get to one of them, or you were ba'al, one of them. So either if you did the chalitza in order of our rows, and then you did ma'amar, or then you gave a get, or then you gave chalitza, any of these cases. Or let's move on to the last case. You did the be'ila, your final column. And with this be'ila, there was a be'ila to the chaver, or there was ma'amar to the chaver, or there was a get to the chaver, or there was another chalitza after the be'ila. Doesn't matter. Anything that you do to the other Yavama after having done a chalitza, we're going to see what that means. Does it mean only at the beginning? Does it mean at any stage? We'll see that in a moment. But anything that you do to another Yavama once you do chalitza is completely and totally without any meaning. It doesn't answer to a Kohen. It doesn't answer you and her relatives. And the same thing is true as once you gave Bia to one of them, you cannot do anything to the other one because it would be meaningless since we're going Aliba to Rabbi Akiva. And once you create the status of Kivan Shalobana or Bayat Echad Hubana, in either case, in a Bodesh Debatim, those are two Isra Lavim. And therefore, either one of them will prevent the chalitz, the yibum, from being meaningful, or a subsequent ma'amar, which is a kedushin, from being meaningful, because ein kedushin tovsim b'chayvei lavim. And this would be true whether you're talking about one yavam, which we've been doing, to two yavamas, but it would be exactly the same if it was two yavamim, and we substitute for he did to woman A, he did to woman B. We would now substitute A does to woman A, Yavam A does to Yavama A, Yavam B does to Yavama A, Yavam B does to Yavama B, Yavam A does to Yavama B, and so on and so forth. And therefore, it would be exactly the same in terms of these halachas. Now, at this point, what we want to do is we want to go back to the simple situation. We've talked about all of the complications. Getting back to the simple situation of a single Yavam and a single Yavama, and we continue on to say that Ein Acha Chalitza Klum. This Ein Acha Chalitza Klum, we want to explain that that means at any stage at all. So therefore, when we said before, this is a review of what we said before in that first stage, Chalatz Va'asa Ma'amar, or Natan Get, or Ba'al. Or Ba'al v'yasa ma'amar natan get v'chalatz. That's the order that we went into, our four stages. We said over there, ein acha chalitza klum. Now, when we say ein acha chalitza klum, it makes absolutely no difference. By Bia, it made a big difference. Because by Bia, we said the Bia psula is actually not going to work. And you're still going to need, after a Bia Psula, you're still going to need a Chalitza to take off the Zika. But where you have a Chalitza, there, once Chalitza is done, pow, the box is empty because there's nothing to do if you've done the Chalitza. So I don't care where that Chalitza is. Ben Betchila, let's say you did your first thing with Chalitza and then we move on. Chalatz Vasamama. Doesn't do a thing. Cholatz v'natan get, doesn't do a thing. Cholatz and then do chalitza, doesn't do a thing. She's not a chalutza. You don't become usher to her relatives. Cholatz u'boal, doesn't do a thing. Okay, so then it doesn't matter whether it's betchila, whether it's be'emtza. Let's say you did first a get, and then you gave chalitza. And then you go ahead and you try to do ma'amar or bia. Still makes no difference. And we do not say, but that's not a good chalitza because you gave a get first. That's not true. Even though we had a concept of a chalitza psula back in the beginning of the parak, that was talking about a chalitza that may be required by another brother. Because we said, according to Rav, if a chalitza is not fully effective by the brother who did it, because he had previously done something that messed up that chalitza by, let's say, doing ma'amar, So then you have to ask all of the brothers to take off the Zika separately. That's a different issue. But here we've gone back to the simple case, the case where we've got the single brother and the Yavama. And then we'll expand. So whether the chalitza was the last thing that you did, maybe you went ahead and you gave a get, and then you went ahead and you gave ma'amar, and then you went ahead and gave chalitza, and now you want to give a ma'amar after that chalitza. It's meaningless. You won't even need a get, because we're going like Rabbi Akiva, who says that if you've got an iser lav, ein kiddushin tofsim. Now, when it comes to bia, there we saw that there was a big difference. Because if it was a bia psula, then you needed to have a chalitza. If it was a bia kshera, then of course it would be ein acharea klum. But it's only a bia kshera when it's the first thing that you do, or it follows ma'amar. Then it's a bia kshera. So habi'ila, it depends. If it's the first thing that you did, bismanchi betchila, so you've got one Yavam with two Yavamas. You went ahead and he was boil one of them. Now he tries to do Ma'amar with the other one. Useless, meaningless, because ain't Kedushin Tovsim, B'chai Ve'lavim. So ain't Acharei Klum. There's no more Zika. But Be'emtza, so let's say first you gave a get, and then you did Bia. Oh, if you did Ma'amar after that, you might have a problem. Or let's say you gave a get, and then you did Ma'amar, and then you did Bia, you still got a problem. Yesh acharei klum, because since it was a Bia Psula, there's still Zika, and you're still going to need Chalitza to take away the Zika. And if you did the Ma'amar, of course, you're going to always need a get for the Ma'amar. When it says in achareha, it doesn't mean that it affects what was done prior. What was done prior, that remains. If you did the Ma'amar before, so then you're still going to have to remove the Ma'amar with a get. It means subsequently, in acharea, subsequent to, there will be no impact of a further act. Masha enke, there will be a necessity for a chalitza after bia, and therefore we say yesh acharea. We have to fill in the box. How do we fill in the box? Chalitza. But the boxes under chalitza remain blank. That's basically the point that the Mishnah is trying to make, which is why here we keep flipping around between leaving our empty boxes and filling in the boxes before. And now we introduce the sheet of Rabbi Nechemia, who says, I don't believe in this bia psula jazz. So whether it's a be'ila or whether it's a chalitza, wherever that's done, it completely and totally removes the zika. Bein betchila, bein be'emtza, bein besof, ein acharea klum. You do not need a chalitza having once done bia. If you left behind your ma'amar, of course you're going to need a get for the ma'amar. That's not what we're talking about. But what we're talking about is if you try to do something now, you try to do a ma'amar now, it will not work because you've taken off the zika completely. Okay, that's basically how Rashi learns. There is a different approach to Rabbi Nechemia, but let's wait on that. So now we have...
We mentioned that Nechemia, it's time for a drink, because he's descended from the Nechemia Sar Mashkim.
Okay, and having taken my new approach with Reb Barnea, who is now considered to be every word meaningful, I will take my drink. And it gives me an excuse to add to our discussion yesterday, because I realized that there's a beautiful pasuk that backs up my contention yesterday that the reason that we use the word dor is because of the Gemara in Chagiga. Dig this. You're going to love this one. Absolutely amazing. So what do we have? The whole discussion was in terms of Chizkiyo's extra years, right? And Rabbi Akiva saying, nah, you can't give him extra years because it's only to be memale, mispar yamecha amale, right? But David HaMelech, who was years before Chizkiyahu, says, you're going to plot, Yamim Ayame Melech Tosif. So how can you be Mosif? Isn't that a riot against Rabbi Akiva? But then he adds, Shnotav Kirchol Dor Vador. What in the world does that mean? It's beautiful. I understand, says David, that you can only be Mosif if you've got the Torah years that were given to him in Chagiga. So I'm only telling you, he should be able to be Zochet to the Yomav of Shnos Dor V'Dor, whatever was left out by all of those people who got collected through accidents in their cooking or whatever it was. You've got all of those years. Give it out to the Melech. But as we said yesterday, that's not, isn't that beautiful? But that's not what the Navi Yeshayo said to Chizkiyahu. He said, I'm going to actually give you something new. Okay, so then it's Bishalona Tamlot, says Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, back.
But there's some type of pattern here because David's years himself were given to him by somebody else.
Yes.
So there must be something inherent in Malchus.
The problem is you can't learn that because it says Tosif and there were no days. So you can't be Yom of Tosif where he didn't have any Yomim.
The Medrash book I read as a child said he had 3 hours. I don't know what the Makor was, but it was the one that everybody used to quote from.
I don't know that.
I forgot who it was.
Okay, beautiful. Anyway, so thank you for giving me the excuse to bring that up, because I certainly didn't want to miss it. Okay, so now, Baruch Hashem, that I think gives us a beautiful tfisa of the Mishnah. It's now clear we've got our spreadsheet. And now the Gemara asks the simple questions about why. Like, where did the Rabbanan get all of this from? Why did they do this? Making things so complicated. What was the reason that we needed to get involved over here with the dinim of giving a get or giving ma'amar? I mean, for heaven's sakes, that really, really is a gezeira that causes us a lot of pain over here. Why was it done? So the point that the Gemara makes is, look, everybody seems to agree that there is meaning to a get and there's meaning to a ma'amar. Why? Atkan lo pligya. Look, the whole machlokas between Rebbe Gamliel and the Chachamim is only how powerful that get is or how powerful that ma'amar is. Is there a get achar a get or is there a ma'amar achar ma'amar? But everybody agrees that a single get given to a Yavama or a single ma'amar given to Yavama is meaningful. But why? My time, Omer Rabbanan, get be Yavama Mahani. Why in the world would the Rabbanan have allowed a get to get involved in the issue of Yavama, where the Torah views that as a joke? Well, says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. People are not very intelligent, and there is a concept of a get in a normal marriage, is there not? So, Mishum de Mahani Ba'ama. Since a get is generally an effective device to end the marriage. If you're going to tell me, if you're going to say a get doesn't do a darn thing if you give it to Yavama. So people will say, well, that's interesting, because one of the meanings of it doesn't do a darn thing is that you could still do Yibum to any of the Yavamas. So they'll say to themselves, oh, gosh, a get has no impact, and you can still sleep with any of those women that you want to take, B'yibum. Well, if that's the truth, since a get is a way of ending relationships, and chalitza is the way we end relationships, so if a get doesn't aser a subsequent yibum, so then chalitza is probably only there in order to allow this woman to marry out. So it affects the issue of Yavama Lashuk, but it doesn't create, they're not aware of the fact that, hey, it's not so simple as only having implications as to whether the Yavama is allowed to marry. The issue also is whether then the Yavama becomes Asura to the brothers. You cannot ignore that. I never heard of that. You're telling me that Kivan Shalom Badan Shuv Lo Yuvneh? Never heard of it. Exactly. And therefore, since you never heard of it, you will come to the conclusion that the purpose of chalitza is only to be matri Yavama Lashuk, which is what most people think, and has no impact on the relationship vis-a-vis the other brother or vis-a-vis other Yavamot. So they'll say, well, look, you know, a get didn't hurt. So then people will come to do Be'ila Acha Chalitza, and they will be over on the Isra of Kivat Shabbo Bana Shuv Lo Yivneh. Therefore, the Rabbanan made a gezera that if one of them gets a get, it's as if they got chalitza. Okay, so then you won't come to do that issue. Okay, fine. Why did the Rabbanan say that ma'amar helps? Now, I understand why ma'amar helps in the sense that it's a great way to do a sweet yibum, you know. But why did they make this idea that if one Yavam does Ma'amar, so then you cannot go ahead and use Yibum anymore with another one? Or a brother can't do Yibum with another one. Why does that follow? If one brother does Ma'amar and then he changes his mind and he never goes through with the Yibum, and now another brother wants to do Yibum, why should the fact that a brother did Ma'amar and never acted on the Yibum, why should that answer on me to do the mitzvah d'oraisa of Yibum? Why would the Rabbanan create a new Isser called Ma'amar in a Yavama that makes it similar to Yibum? Says the Gemara, look, it's the same problem. Because since Ma'amar is effectively Kedushin, right? It's just a regular Kedushin. Normally, when you walk over to a woman and you give her a ring and you say, Areyat Mekudeshetli, I mean, that does have an awful lot of impact. I mean, it makes her basically your wife, right? If you're going to say that Ma'amar doesn't mean anything when it comes to Yavama, and therefore I could still go and take any of the other Yavamas, or the brothers can go and take any of the other Yavamas, so then people will say to themselves, gosh, that's interesting. Because Ma'amar is one way of getting a wife, and the act of Yibum is another way of getting a wife. And if you give Ma'amar, it doesn't impact your right to take another one of these, another one of these women who fell from this brother. And it doesn't impact your brother's right to take this woman. So then people will come to be Boyal with the other woman after they already did Yibum. And then you'll be over on the other Isser D'oraisa, which is Bayet Echad U'Boneh Ve'Eino Boneh Shnei Batim. So that explains why the Rabbanan created this din of Ma'amar and Get in the case of Yibum.